You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are talking
while married.
Well, another cold night in Texas, but I'm glad we've got some hot coffee.
Yes, it is cold, but it's supposed to start warming up. And, you know, I just noticed some little buds sprouting on the trees, so I'm excited because that means spring's a-coming.
Yeah, a couple of more months, and, you know, we won't be able to see the river as good as we used to see the river because we've got a forest behind us.
That's anyway, okay. I like the forest.
Hey, listen, I want to talk about the constant issue about border security because, you know, President Trump has given the Congress sort of a stay in affairs with regards to the government shutdown, and I think it was for about 30 days, and we are...
It was 3 weeks.
Well, three, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're already closing in on that time, and we're still not any closer than where we were when President Trump agreed to open up the government again.
Well, no, I didn't expect that they were going to sit down and compromise as they said they would if he opened up the government. And they haven't, and I don't think that they will. But I do think that there are options, and I think ultimately President Trump will do what he said in the State of the Union. He said one way or the other he is going to build that wall.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to shut the government down again because it ultimately is damaging to the economy, and it's, you know, people have to get paid, and also it hurts our relationships on the worldwide stage with regards to our different economic partners. But, you know, the new thing that has been popping up is that the Democrats are trying to limit the number of beds for asylum seekers. And this is their way of turning more people out onto the street, okay? Because if you can't house them, what are you going to do with them? You've got to release them. And over 90% of all the asylum seekers and the illegal aliens that have been captured and released pending court do not show up to court. So this is just this continuing saga of a lack of internal security in the United States, and I'm quite worried about it. We are already backed up well over 900,000 cases. Okay, and like I said before, you could bring in 200 judges instead of 75 immigration judges, and you wouldn't clear 900,000 cases for years.
Oh, exactly. And it just keeps building, and more of these caravans keep heading our way. But I do like that Mexico is keeping these people on their side of the border until such time as their number is called to have their asylum, you know, talked about.
Well, you know, I'm going to disagree with you there because I think it's incongruent because you have several different states in the country of Mexico. And one state that they came through was actually giving all of the asylum seekers in the caravans buses. So how can you say that Mexico is trying to prevent these people from crossing the border?
No, I'm not.
And they're
giving them
buses.
No, I'm saying that they are... have agreed to keep them in Mexico, even if it's at the border of Mexico and the United States, rather than let them all come into the United States. Now, there are still unprecedented numbers being caught at the border coming over illegally, and there's certainly a large percentage of those that are not getting caught. So those people are getting into the interior of the United States and going wherever they want to go. And this is the game of the Democrats, to hold off this process, this whole process as long as possible, because every day more and more are crossing that border one way or the other.
Okay, well, Mexico doesn't have the type of border that we have. You know, its southern border is nowhere as long or as wide as our border is. Okay, in other words, Mexico's border was Central America. So what the heck is Mexico doing down at their southern border?
As far as the southern border, they did say that they were going to stop these caravans coming up. That has not happened, and it doesn't seem like they've made an effort to do that. I did look at the figures for the numbers of the first caravan that came, and we had about 6,000 people at the border. Some of those people were people that did make it over the border, and some were people that accepted jobs in Mexico and stayed there, and some were people that went home. So it was not an entirely successful caravan, Ron, because a lot of those people did not get into the United States.
Well, I don't want to see any more people coming across. And I would think that if Mexico was really going to be a good partner, then they would do something about their southern border. Because, you know, when we're in Puerto Vallarta and we're talking with our Mexican friends, Mexican residents, they're very angry about all these immigrants coming across their southern border because they interfere with Mexico's progress. They take jobs away from Mexicans. They cause problems, and not only, you know, criminal problems, but they create socioeconomic problems and medical problems and hygiene and health problems, health and safety problems, that Mexico is already at their own tipping point. And now they're bringing in, you know, thousands and thousands of people from Central America, from Africa, from South America, from China. You know, how much can that poor country take? I mean, we talk about the United States, but look at Mexico. They're nowhere near a first world country. They're a second world country.
No, and I know that the people that live in Mexico and are Mexican citizens do not like these caravans coming through, and they don't support it as a whole. By the way, the diseases, as you said, that the people are bringing in are, you know, just causing problems everywhere. So what's happening is, in Los Angeles, you have, you know, the outbreak of typhoid, which we haven't had for many, many years. In Mexico, they've got outbreaks of different things. We've got the reintroduction of measles now that are coming into the country. And a lot of parents weren't vaccinating their kids because measles was pretty much eradicated, but it no longer is. And things, you know, these things are happening. And in the UK, where they've had a lot of immigration and, have not done a good job in policing their immigration and been letting people in, they now have outbreaks of scarlet fever and of whooping cough and of things that were eradicated decades ago.
We have a lot of parents in the United States, for one reason or another, and I personally think they're crazy, that don't vaccinate their kids. Mm-hmm. You know, some people don't vaccinate their kids for religious reasons, and they don't trust doctors, they don't trust vaccinations, and that's a problem, because when you have people coming across the border and they have these diseases that we had heretofore eradicated, now we expose, you know, thousands of people, and you're going to get, again, these types of problems that we have not seen in the United States for decades.
Well, it was just recently that they caught over 300 people that had crossed into the deserts in the United States from Mexico, and 300 of them had diseases. One of them had that deadly flesh-eating bacterial disease. What? So, you know, these were all people that now had to be taken into for medical care, stopping effectively anything that the Border Patrol is now doing to catch people. They have to stop, and they have to get these people to hospitals and get them medically treated. So this is a huge problem. And, you know, they are bringing in things that we haven't seen in decades in the United States.
Well, you know, and this is not the sky is falling conversation that you and I are having. This is a legitimate conversation with legitimate concerns. And these Democrats that are saying there is no crisis at the border, this is just a deflection and redirection, because it's absolutely apparent that there is a huge crisis at our border. There is a medical crisis. There is a crisis with thousands of people breaching our walls, coming across this country. There is a drug crisis. We have a drug epidemic. There are so many crises that are specifically coming from our lack of security and continuity at maintaining our border. And for the Democratic leadership to throw this stuff out is disgraceful.
Well, it is. And I think back to, you know, our original conversation here, that President Trump will find a way, regardless of what the outcome is with Congress and the Senate on the border wall money. There are other ways that he can get that money. So there are legal ways that he can divert money from other programs into building that border wall. I absolutely believe he will do that.
Do you think he can do that without the permission of Congress?
My understanding is that he can.
Well, you know, I see this, and I could be completely wrong here. I see this ending in a couple of different ways. Number one, President Trump says, I've had enough of this. There's a national emergency, and he calls a national emergency, and he just funds the border. And if it has to go through the federal courts,
which it will,
and it'll probably go to the Ninth Circuit and eventually gets to the Supreme Court, that's fine. But I say, go ahead and do your executive order, build the darn thing, build it as quickly as you can. As a matter of fact, I would direct the Army Corps of Engineers to build the darn thing. And let's get the darn thing built, because after the Supreme Court makes a decision, God knows what that decision's going to be, at least we have more of it built and they will not tear it down. I assure you of that. The second thing that could happen, and I'm worried about this, and maybe you'll give me some input here, but I think that maybe what the president will do is he'll back down on the amount of money that he wants for the border, because he doesn't want to shut the government down again, because the optics on that are not good, and he'll take far less money and then think of some other way to backfund the border so it gets built.
That's exactly what he'll do. He already has plans in his back pocket here, if and when the Congress does not allow this money, which they're not going to. So he already has Plan B in his back pocket, and I have no doubt that he's going to get this border built. And by the way, Ron, starting in Texas right now, heavy machinery is rolling in as we speak to start on a huge portion of a wall being built right here in Texas.
Well, I know that. And also our Governor Greg Abbott, who you and I just love this guy. I mean, he does so much for the state of Texas. He's already ordered the deployment of 500 DPS, or Department of Public Safety, state troopers down to the border to protect our southern flank, so to speak. So I'm really happy with that.
Yeah, and we absolutely need it, because what's happening is a lot of these caravans are now diverting, where they started in the Tijuana area to come in. Now they're coming in through the Texas area. And we do have a lot of areas that need extra protection. So little by little, we're getting it done.
Well, switching gears here a little bit, but staying in the same frame of our conversation, is freshman Congressman Ilhan Omar. This is your Somali Muslim freshman congresswoman. She's tweeting out to defund the Department of Homeland Security. Do you know how big the Department of Homeland Security is?
You have to understand where she's coming from. If you recall, and I don't know if you saw it when I saw it, but the three Muslim congresspeople that we have, one male and the two females, were at this event at a Hilton or Hyatt, and they were talking about how they intend on changing the face of government in the United States, that this is the first step, that they need to get more and more people in. And, all I continue to ask is the people in Minnesota and Michigan, what were you thinking? I mean, just what are you thinking? Because we don't need this direction in our country.
Well, I think what's happened, and I think it's very apparent, is that the demographics of Michigan and a few other places has changed dramatically. And so now this is how you get a congressperson in who's Muslim and who takes their oath of office on the Quran instead of the Bible. And leave this part of the religious discussion out, but there is a big difference between taking an oath of office to protect and defend the United States against all enemies, both foreign and domestic, on the Bible, where you are swearing your allegiance to the United States of America. You're not swearing your allegiance to God. You are, speaking, you are putting your hand on the Bible, indicating that you are being truthful in your pledge, as opposed to the Quran, where it has nothing to do with government and everything to do with your allegiance to Allah, which is not part of what we do here in the United States of America, which is a republic, right? And even some of these Congress people don't understand that, which is disgraceful. But, you know, to even talk about defunding the Department of Homeland Security just speaks to the ignorance of people like that, because look at all the different programs, agencies that emanate from the Department of Homeland Security. I mean, just look at it all. Okay, TSA, part of the Department of Homeland Security. ICE, Department of Homeland Security. Immigrations, Custom, all of that stuff, Department of Homeland Security. Cyber Protection, Department of Homeland Security. Literally everything that protects this country outside of the United States military emanates from the DHS.
But if they can destroy these things in the United States, Ron, then this allows the United States to be basically taken over from the inside. And that's the end goal here.
Well, you know, I absolutely agree with you. But talking about the demographic changes throughout the United States, look at this change that just popped up in New York City. And this is these Muslim community patrols. And they have one, a Muslim community patrol out of the 72nd precinct, which is Brooklyn. And just imagine this, and people can, you know, look this up and see, they have Muslims dressed like police officers driving cars that look almost identical to NYPD cars, the same color scheme, the same logo, the same colors of the words on the side of the vehicle, what we call the indicia, the identifying markers of the car, only instead of saying NYPD, it says MCP for Muslim Community Patrol, and the same type of NYPD logo.
And what is their purpose?
Well, that's my question. So first of all, how do they get licensed? Who approves that? And so I started doing a little bit of digging, and believe it or not, this was approved by the city of New York, and off-duty NYPD officers provided training. And, you know, there are two people. First of all, there's 30 volunteers, and the president of the Muslim Community Patrol, obviously, is a Muslim. His name is Sami Razi, and the vice president, his name is Noor Rabah. And so Mr. Rabah was asked to explain what the Muslim community patrols were, and he said, and I quote, "It's like neighborhood watch, only on steroids." What does that mean, only on steroids? Okay, and so...
Well, do they have any authorities?
Well, no, they're civilians. They don't have any more authority than you and I do. But what bothers me is they're in uniform that looks like an NYPD officer, and they're driving cars that look exactly like NYPD units. And so for the people, especially in the Muslim community, that are not informed, then these people are like the Sharia police. Now, they have specifically said, and I also looked this up on Snopes, that these patrol volunteers are not there to enforce Sharia law. Okay, that's what they say specifically. But you know what? If it looks like a duck and walks like a duck and has got a police car like a duck, then it's a duck, okay? And it's not anything else that you would think it would be. So my point about all of this is you could be an uninformed Muslim and see these guys in uniform and see the police car, which is what they're going to call it, a police car, and they're going to be intimidated by that. Okay? They're going to be intimidated by that. Why do we need to have that type of entity in driving around in New York streets? Why cannot we just simply have the police in those communities?
Well, I don't know the answer to that.
Well, you know the answer to that. They don't want the police in those communities, okay? They want no-go zones like they have in France and like they have in Germany and Belgium and all these other, and in Great Britain.
Which has been disastrous for all of them.
Where the cops can't go in because they're so damn afraid of getting stoned or getting shot at or getting blown up. This is the same thing that's going to happen in New York City. And the demographics in New York City are very interesting. 760,000 Muslims live in New York City, and they comprise 9% of the city's population and 22% of all the Muslims in the United States of America. That's absolutely incredible. You have almost 1 million Muslims living in one city. Of course the demographics are going to change, and they're going to try to pull shenanigans like this.
Well, sure, and I would wonder what the other demographics are for Minnesota and Michigan.
And I worry about it.
Yep, I do too.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Well, I want to talk about the gift that keeps on giving to Republicans, and that's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, or AOC, as she refers to herself. Boy, I'll tell you what, when you get a moniker that's spelled out in initials, you are a mover and a shaker.
Yep, okay? You're happening.
Well, so anyway, you know, she's the person that's putting forward the Green New Deal.
The Green New Manifesto, I call it.
Yeah, or as Nancy Pelosi calls it. You know, that new green thing.
Oh.
And, you know, you and I have talked about that before, you know, while having coffee. And it's got many components, but you're right. It's right out of the Communist Manifesto, and it's pure socialism. But anyway, so she's got a Cornell University law school professor. He's not even a financier or anybody that comes from, you know, a business or finance background, and his name's Robert Hockett. And I heard this guy on Tucker Carlson the other day, because Tucker was taking this guy on, because part of what Cortez put forward is that in the new Green Deal, they are going to economically subsidize people who don't want to work. And so, you know, Tucker took, you know, Professor Hockett on, and he was just completely saying, no, that's not what's in the Green New Deal. And Tucker kind of pointed it out that it absolutely was, and caused the professor to back down and admit that, yeah, I guess he was wrong.
Well, at first he was blaming Republicans for having put it in there as, you know, some sort of subversive move, but
exactly.
It actually is in there.
Yeah, and he had to admit that he's wrong. But, you know, the thing that I found fascinating, and I was watching the exchange between Carlson and Professor Hockett, and this was a guy that was all over the map. I mean, the stuff that came out of this guy's mouth, he was so incongruent when he was speaking. 1 second he would say one thing, and then 2 seconds later it was the complete opposite of what he just said. And the manner in which he was talking, you know, I mean, the words sound educated, right? It was good vocabulary, good diction, but when you really listen to it, it didn't make any sense at all. And I think that's what this whole new Green Deal is about. It's just a regurgitation of communist and socialist programs that would never work. It would be just terrible for the United States. And our country is already significantly in debt, and we're gonna spend trillions and trillions of dollars with this new deal, and we're not going to pay people. I mean, and we're going to be paying people that don't want to work. That's how this works out, the redistribution of wealth to people that have no inclination whatsoever of working for themselves.
Well, every bit of this Green New Manifesto, which I prefer to call it, is, you know, just a regurgitation of Saul Alinsky's rules for making a capitalist society a socialist society. And they, I mean, just the ridiculousness and the unfeasibility financially of the entire proposal, it can't happen. But let's just take some of the ridiculous things, like getting rid of airplanes, like getting rid of cows. Okay, cows have been part of our food chain forever. And not only part of our food chain, but, you know, the milk that our babies drink, just the entire food chain. Cows are part of it.
Now, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. We're getting rid of cows because they fart?
Because they fart.
Okay. So we're getting rid of cows because of methane and because they fart and they poop. And so we're going to get rid of the entire dairy and cattle industry because of that.
Well, it seems like we see an increasing trend in America and on the left to continue to restrict and legislate employers and our jobs. And, you know, in the country, us both being entrepreneurs and both having small businesses, Ron, there's about 30 million people who have small businesses currently in the United States, and about 6 million of those people have employees. So that's quite a few who don't have employees that are sole you know, workers in their solo entrepreneurs.
And you
right?
know what? I think people mm-hmm. often, because we're so used to these gigantic corporations with tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of workers, I think they forget, the American public tends to forget, that it's the small business that is the economic engine of the United States, not these huge companies.
Well, and they are not treated as such.
Correct.
So a lot of times when they make laws based on big companies like the Amazons of the world.
And I think that's because they lobby. They have the, you know, the millions of dollars and the lobbyists that they can afford to put forward to get legislation that benefits them. And the small business person like you and me, with less than 50 employees, we can't put that money together and lobby.
No, and again, most of these businesses are solo entrepreneurs. So, and by the way, these are owned by a very diverse group of people, from immigrants to multi-generational families, men, women. Everybody owns these businesses. In fact, there's more women starting businesses than men at this time.
That's true.
They account for close to half of the country's jobs. That is huge. Yet when the laws are made, they're not made with entrepreneurs in mind, and they're not made with small business in mind. So there seems to be kind of a direction going of, since they're making laws based on big business, they're affecting these small business owners who are risking their capital. So an example would be, you know, the medical insurance and the different fees that we have to pay. And now they're having this with the wages. So the wages are, what's happening is they're having to close businesses now because they can't afford the wages that are being put into effect to pay.
And are you referring to the new drive?
The minimum wage.
Right.
$15.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a huge game changer for small businesses, especially some of those businesses that don't really have a high profit margin to them.
Well, exactly. And what's happening is, more often than not, the employer is having to cut the hours or lay off people. So So really, we're not getting anywhere with making these rules is not helping people. It's actually hurting people overall. And, you know, with a small business person, Ron, who's an entrepreneur, nobody's guaranteeing their wages.
Oh, no, I absolutely agree with you. And when not only they play the game with the wages and they play the game, individual states will play the game with workers' compensation and all of these issues, it really cuts the profitability of a company. And when you cut the profitability of the company, you cut the wage of the person that owns the business. And is that what you're referring to?
Well, absolutely. And they're the ones who put their... You know, their
sweat equity, their money,
absolutely.
Everything is in there.
So they're the one taking all the risk, but they're the ones who end up getting hurt. And okay. Now they've got more bills up in different states seeking to penalize solo entrepreneurs and independent contractors and fining them, for example, like hairdressers who want to go out on their own instead of being employed by somebody else. They want to issue fines to them for that or penalties. There's different services that are in the small business world in service industries such as, you know, beauty salons and those types of things that they make the licensing be so restrictive and so regulated that it's just very hard to conduct business. And, of course, all of these things have fees attached to them as well. It's very difficult to be an entrepreneur, and it's even more difficult to be a successful one. And why we are trying to make it even more difficult when this is, I think, the engine of the country. Half of the employees of the country are entrepreneurs and their employees. And why we continue to make this harder and harder and have more restrictions and have more monies due by employers is crazy. If they would not make these rules and regulations that create challenges to growing businesses, for example, in hiring employees, if you took just 5% of small business owners that have no employees and they hired one employee, it would create more than 1 million new jobs in this country. So they should be really giving them tax breaks to help. The small employers did not get the same tax breaks as the large employers did in this tax cut.
Well, again, I think that's because the large corporations make the millions and millions of dollars, and they have the lobbyists that live in Washington, and they are constantly forwarding the, you know, legislation that benefits the large corporations rather than the mom and pop operations like you and I run, basically.
Right. So, you know, I mean, this is a very, very important part of America, and I really wish that the states and the federal government would pay more attention to it, because we are 50% of the American workforce, and we need to be looking at getting the help and the breaks that the bigger companies get in order to keep this American engine chugging.
I agree with you.
Well, I want to talk to you about something else, and I've kind of waited to talk about it a little bit. But, you know, there are these people that go around in the American Disabilities Act.
Well, the American Disabilities Act has, you know, rules that deal with accommodations at public places and businesses and things like that. Is that what you're referring
right.
to?
Right, and you have people that really want to take advantage of that. And by the way, I have all the respect in the world for Americans with disabilities. That's not the issue.
Well, but and just, you're a veterans business,
sure.
too. Okay,
and
so.
just like any type of a group, you always get some bad ones in that group.
Yeah.
And recently, our landlord and we were served with an ADA lawsuit.
Right. And that takes place in federal court, by the way,
right.
because the ADA is a federal act.
Right. And the allegations in the lawsuit were wholly unfounded and incorrect.
Correct.
And what I learned in this process, which I didn't know before, is that these people go around and they just drive around streets and they look for business names and they file these. And a lot of people just pay money to make it go away, and they don't fight it.
And those are referred to as nuisance fees, by the
exactly.
way. Okay, so you get, you know, $3,000, $5,000 to make something go away that should have never, you know, happened in the first place. Sometimes it's cheaper to just make it go away for a couple of $1,000 than to hire an attorney and go through the entire legal process, which is extremely distracting for any person's business.
Right. And what I learned is that these people file hundreds of these suits a year.
Correct.
They just drive by different areas and they get names off of buildings and they file these suits. My landlord was very incensed about it because he had just done everything that he could. He spent a lot of money on making sure that all of his parking spaces were compliant and so forth. So he was very upset to have received this. And of course, it's somebody that had never been on the property and knew nothing about it and just actually has a standard template that in every lawsuit they use, it says the same thing in every single template.
Right.
And it says that they, you know, tried to go in this business, which would have been mine, and do business but couldn't because we were ADA uncompliant. Well, I know for sure that he never came to our business because we actually have a locked door that's only employee accessible. We are not open to the public.
And by the way, you have the wheelchair access that
right in front of the door.
Right in front of the door. And you have the handicap parking places mm-hmm. that are actually wider than the law requires them to be. It's just a guy that picked on you. And I'm glad you're talking about this because I got to do a little background on the individual. Not going to name him. And he's definitely a disabled guy, but he's a bodybuilder that has a business, and it's a workout place. I guess, what do you call it? A fitness center.
Okay.
In Southern California, and he's on social media all the time. But I guess his business is not doing very well, so he's a scammer. That's what he does, and he hooks up with some sleazebag ambulance chasing
attorney,
mm-hmm. and I looked him up, and in the last 2 years in the county where you have your business, and I also have another business there, he's filed over 100 lawsuits, okay, in just 2 years. And so that's like filing a lawsuit every 2 or 3 days. And I went back and I pulled about 20 of his lawsuits. And like you said, Linda, they were all templated, saying the exact same thing, only just changing the defendants in the case and their address. And, you know, I tried to call his attorney on 4 separate occasions and never got a telephone call returned. And in looking at the court documents, because I'm able to look at all the lawsuits he's filed, they had many, many times where neither one of them showed up. And the judge had been dismissing all of these guys' lawsuits. So, you know, the thing that angers me, because I'm involved with litigation in the criminal and civil justice communities, is why the heck are the judges putting up with that?
Well, it's the judges are, they don't like it either, is what I've learned. And the attorney I had was very nice. And by the way, just so people are aware, you have to, if you're a corporation, you have to have an attorney represent you. You can't represent yourself.
Right.
So I had to pay $1,500 for an attorney to represent me in something that I did nothing wrong. And that is wholly unfair.
And by the way, And your landlord grabbed a bunch of that because it's his building. It's not your building. It's not
your
parking lot.
But we were both sued independently.
Of course you were.
Yeah.
But that's just completely unfair.
But what I also learned from my attorney, which I thought was really interesting, is that attorneys like him get over 120 cases a year to handle on the defense side. Right. And he doesn't like them because he knows that they're scams. But they, as attorneys, have, on the good side of attorneys, have brought this to Congress to create a bill to stop this from happening, and Congress would not do it.
Well, you know why? Because they're worried that when they decide to vote on this bill, there's going to be 100 people in wheelchairs
yes.
in the gallery. And the optics are
going
to be bad. Rather than doing the ethical thing and saying, wait a minute, we are totally supportive of ADA. That's why we passed the ADA, you know, wrote the legislation and passed the ADA laws. But you've got to you have to police the community because there are always going to be scammers. And to me, this was so frustrating to see that this guy was just a scammer. He's a guy in great shape. He's a bodybuilder. He's got a fitness center. But he's just decided, wow, I can make another $100,000 or $150,000 a year by filing 100 lawsuits a year and just throwing spaghetti on the wall and finding sucker defendants that just want to pay, you know, $3,000 or $4,000 just to make it go away.
Exactly. And okay, that is exactly what my attorney said that people do. They get afraid and that's what they do. So that's how these guys make their money.
Well, I'm glad that the lawsuit against you and your landlord was dismissed because that was the appropriate thing. Hey, how about our last cup of coffee?
I'm ready.
Tired of watching the same old sporting events? Well, kick it up a notch and get ready, America, for something you've never seen before. It's the new generation of Western superstars. Shorty Gorham's American freestyle bullfighting. Who will win? The acrobatic, tough-as-nails Western superstar or the meanest half-ton fighting bulls on Earth? This is one of the most extreme sports you'll ever see in an arena. This is hand-to-horn combat on a level playing field. Go to ShortyGorhamAFB.com or find them on Facebook. It's bullfighting time.
Well, I'm back with my third cup of coffee. How about you?
Got it right here.
So we're talking about all the crazy things that are going on with these Democrat socialists. And I just want to call your attention to the fact that Amazon, is that probably the biggest corporation in the world now?
I think it is. I mean, gosh, when I see their distribution centers, they are absolutely huge.
Yeah, you know, when we go to Southern California and we get into that Ontario airport and then we go, you know, over to Corona, mm-hmm. where we've got some offices, that gigantic building complex, that is all Amazon. I mean, it's huge. I don't know. What is it? A couple of million feet?
It's huge. And you know, they're all over the country. So there's... They just do a phenomenal business. And Jeff Bezos, for all of his problems in life.
Which are many.
I don't know what it is with men, Ron, that they have to seem to cause these problems with women all the time.
Hey, I'm sorry, Linda. I'm offended by that. That's gender and sexist based. But let's talk about Amazon, though. And so they decide that they're going to put HQ2, the headquarters 2. Okay, so like the biggest... second biggest headquarters in the world for Amazon, they want to put it in Queens, New York, okay, in the Queens borough of New York City.
We were just there. I'm not sure why they'd want to do that, but...
No, but that's okay. Yeah. But they want to invest billions of dollars into the Queens borough of New York City, and they want to hire, get this, 25,000 people at an average salary of $150,000 a person. Do the math.
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. And those salaries are really amazing, too. So
I may just quit everything I'm doing and go to Amazon. I may go to the dark side, Linda. I may become an Amazon drone pilot.
I'm not going with you. I'm staying right here in Texas. Yeah, and what happened to this whole project is AOC, our favorite Queens congresswoman, pretty much created an atmosphere that Amazon did not want to be in. And not just her, but a lot of the New York City legislators.
Liberati. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They decided that Amazon was not consistent with their values. And I think Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and here's the important thing, she's the congressperson that was just elected from the borough of Queens. And because of all her vitriol against Amazon, they decided to pull out.
Well, and it's interesting because she has been really outspoken against Jeff Bezos and about his being a billionaire. Here is a guy who started something from nothing. I mean, and built this incredible business. This is the true epitome of capitalism. I don't like everything about Amazon, but boy, do I admire what he has done with that company. And, you know, it seems to be a well-running company. It's certainly, you know, honestly, when we order things from there, whether they're books or whether they're items, they come extremely timely. They are always good items. They're not junk. They're not broken. I mean, this is really the epitome of the American dream. And she wants to criticize it. Yet, Ron, she just took $10 million. She gets right into Congress as a bartender with no money whatsoever, unpaid bills, evicted from her apartments.
Bad credit rating.
She gets $10 million from Netflix, which is the Hillary crowd, the Susan Rice crowd. She gets money.
For doing a documentary, doing a movie.
This is what happens, and this is what corrupts our politicians, because they get into office and they get filthy rich. Believe me, she just took $10 million. Do not think that she's in the rich crowd now. She is one of whom she is speaking.
Well, you know, that's interesting that you're saying that, because you just took the words right out of my mouth. So if being a billionaire, okay, so consider Jeff Bezos, and he's a multi-billionaire. And then let's compare and contrast to OAC, who was probably making about $2,000 a month as a bartender. Now she has $10 million. Comparatively speaking, with regards to income, in compared to what she was making as a bartender to what she's making now, both as a congressional person. By the way, she's only been in for a few weeks. Do you realize, Linda, that she could retire today? She could retire today and get a pension of, what is it, you know, I don't know, the 75% of what she's working, if not the entire salary, for the rest of her life. Okay, she could have just gone in there for a few weeks. That's the system, the corrupt system that they set up for themselves. But my point is, compare and contrast, she, compared to what she was making before, a couple of thousand bucks a month, now she's making 10 million bucks. She's a billionaire. She is who she is talking about.
She is who she's talking about. And did she turn any of this down and say, oh no, this is unethical for me to take? No, she didn't do that. Does she turn down the pension and say, well, I've only been here this long, I don't deserve, you know, the ability to have a pension? No. But she criticizes everybody else in this country for being capitalist, and look what she just did. Now, the last thing I want to say about that, at least about AOC, is, you know, that she, not so much about her, Ron, what were the people in Queens thinking? And this goes to Omar, this goes to Tlaib, this goes to these people that
these
were elected
Congress
to Congress,
right,
that are honestly a pox on this nation.
Well, they're an utter embarrassment, but how do the people in Queens, which is a fairly impoverished section of New York City, how do they feel about the fact that they could have all hit the rainbow and now they've got literally nothing? Okay.
Well,
can I just say one more thing? Do you think, Linda, that this is intentional by Cortez to keep the people in her borough in poverty so that they would continue to seek entitlements for the government and solidify her power base in Queens? Or do you think the people are going to be so pissed off she's going to be a one-hit wonder and she'll be out of office in the next election?
I think she'll be a one-hit wonder, but I also haven't until lately started thinking along the lines of what you just said, that either she's extremely uninformed, and which I do think that that's the case, and that she has no idea of how this country runs, and I don't know where she got her socialist ideas from in her background, but yes, they want to keep the people down. Now, if you think about, Ron, 25,000 jobs
and $150,000.
Yes. Beyond that, think about all of the taxi drivers, all of the food establishments, all of the housing establishments, all of the clothing stores, all of the services that would be used by those people, was a huge boon to Long Island and Queens, and it is gone.
Well, and to the city of New York. Just think about the restaurants alone, for God's sake.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, and so, you know what? I really like this component that you brought up in our conversation, because the infrastructure You know, and the support services that support the infrastructure of these corporations is huge. Look what happens when we close down a military base in the United States. It's the same thing, right? The restaurants, the car dealerships, the haircutting places, you know, because soldiers always got to get a haircut.
Yeah, or I mean, a coal mine. I mean,
you know, the you know, all the different.
Or a car manufacturer.
Any large corporation that establishes a base in a city, I mean, everybody gains from that. Public services gain, law enforcement gains, hospitals gain, because there are tremendous needs. Because guess what you just did? You have people already living in Queens, and then people that are going to come in from outside of Queens, and you're going to have 25,000 extra people. Look at the real estate alone. My God, everybody, this would have been a cash cow for everybody.
Well, and the tax base that it would have brought in to Queens and that Long Island, New York area, the taxes that would have been paid by these people would have been a huge boon. Talk about fixing infrastructure. Talk about, you know, extra policing. Talk about so many jobs. It's not 25,000 jobs. It's far more than
that.
Oh,
no, I agree. And thanks for correcting me, because it potentially could be as many as 200,000 jobs if you think about all the other support services for that place. But, you know, here's something about New York. So look at the irony here, because Jeff Bezos is a very well-known liberal. Okay.
Yes.
So one of his own kind just fed him his lunch. Okay, and look at how Bill de Blasio and Mario Cuomo, you know, the governor of New York, are now looking at OAC when I keep saying OAC is, you know, you got to get these acronyms for these famous people, right? Alexandria or Ocasio-Cortez, but they were all touting her. They was like, you know, right on, sister. And all of a sudden, she just stabbed them all in the back. But this is the reason why, as well, the state of New York and New York City has a very difficult time bringing people into those regions that are large corporations. If you watch television, do you see all the commercials on television for, oh, come to New York, we've fixed ourselves, this is a great place to work? Well, it's not a great place to work. And unfortunately, Jeff Bezos and Amazon just found out.
Well, you know, the truth is that New York did do a great deal to fix itself and to bring people there. And they did a great job in giving Amazon the incentives to come there. All of that was great. And Amazon chose to go to New York. It was not just Cortez, it was a number of people in the city of New York, as far as legislators and politicians in the city of New York, that were creating an atmosphere and mouthing off, for lack of a better word, and making Amazon feel unwelcome. And that is why they pulled out. They still would have had all of those incentives to come to New York had he chosen to stay,
right?
But he didn't want to have that for his people. And I think more than that, it's Jeff Bezos, you know, giving a big nose thumb or middle finger to the people that were criticizing him. And Ocasio-Cortez was probably the loudest and most vocal of those, but there was more. So, you know, where New York did do a good job of doing their job of getting people to come into New York, you know, other people ruined it for them.
Well, you know, and they needed to do it because people are pulling out of New York. Not only the citizens, but corporations are pulling out of New York because the tax structure is ridiculous. And then plus just the general environment. I mean, when we go into New York to do business, I mean, it's a fun place. If you go to Manhattan, it's a fun place to stay for a couple of days. But I mean, I couldn't even imagine living there. I mean, unless you were just a total 1,000% city-fied person, I mean, you know, I could never live in that environment.
You know, I could have when I was younger. It's a vibrant, really cool place to be. And, you know, as we talked to the waitress in the restaurant that we went to that we love so much, you know, she came from a small town and she absolutely loves it and loves that vibrancy and that everything's alive and that city never sleeps. And some people really thrive on that. There was nothing wrong with Amazon going where they were going. I honestly am not happy that they want to go to Nashville now, because I don't want all those liberals in Nashville, and I hope that Nashville doesn't either. But that seems like where they're going to go, and one of my favorite places on earth is Nashville. So, you know, they're going to get a huge boom there.
So, Linda, let's switch coasts and talk about the state we love to hate. And that's California, okay, where we were born and raised. And so how about this bullet train? How's that working out for the people in California that have paid almost $100 billion for this debacle?
Well, this is and has been a debacle since day one. When it was first proposed, we were totally against it. We thought it was a huge joke. Now, had they done it right, and had they done a bullet train up the coast from Los Angeles to San Francisco, that would have made sense.
And over to Vegas.
It was supposed to go over to Vegas, which would have been huge, because that road driving from Los Angeles to Vegas is, you know, it's fine, but a train would be ever so much easier, and it would really solve a lot of the accidents on that road.
Well, you're right. Let me say something, because you and I have driven that road, I don't know, scores and scores of times, because we have business out in Las Vegas, and that's a dangerous road. Okay, and I know you lost one of your relatives on that road.
Yes.
Okay, and it's dangerous, and not everybody can pay, the money to fly back and forth to Vegas. Now, I know when Southwest Airlines first started out, they had $49 fares to Vegas, and oh my God, I think it made that airlines. Okay, but it's a dangerous road, and especially if you're gambling and you're drinking
and you're tired
and you're tired and you're coming back, it's so much better to just sit on a train and find yourself in back in Los Angeles with three hours or something like that.
But as usual, politics gets involved, and what happened, and I don't remember his name right now, you may, the congressman that was the final vote for Obamacare,
that's exactly,
was
right,
rewarded, and the train was diverted to his area, which goes between
Bakersfield,
Merced.
It goes through Kern County, it goes through Kings County, Merced County, but this is central California, which is all rural, a little bit
it's
of desert,
farmland.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that area like the back of my hand, and so it's actually, the first leg of this bullet train was going from Bakersfield to a little tiny town that the best thing it has in it is a women's prison, and that's Chowchilla. So it's basically a train going to nowhere.
Right. And really, there's not enough traffic to support a train there. But this was his reward for having that final vote on Obamacare and putting it through.
You got those federal billions of dollars to do that.
Which is an insult to every Californian, that money was used, first of all, for that area, which is a joke, and not for the areas that really need the traffic congestion alleviated, like that Los Angeles area, like
Correct.
That road to Las Vegas, like the road to San Francisco. So they totally did this on politics. And this is really unfair to people. So now, Governor
Newsom,
he has put a stop to the train going from Los Angeles to San Francisco altogether for now. And he says he's going to focus on finishing the train to nowhere. This has been a debacle and a misspending of California money that is unprecedented.
Okay, so let me say something really quick before we close our evening out tonight and hit the sack. But the whole thing was about reducing the carbon footprint. I've been out there and I've seen that corridor, that swath that they cut through that beautiful farmland. You want to talk about a carbon footprint. And it is now just a corridor of crime and basically destruction and arson, all those buildings that they bought.
All
and they
the
had
empty
to tear
buildings,
down.
Right, drug dealers.
It is horrible looking. It's been terrible for the environment. Believe me, you can see it from a satellite. It's that big. And now they've just destroyed it. So if they destroyed it and they were consistent about the carbon footprint, then they would have to remove all that stuff that they built. Well, what do you think that would cost the California taxpayers that have already invested over $100 billion on this thing? So, of course, he's got to say it's going to go back and forth to that. But who's going to use it? Right?
Well,
a bunch of farmers?
The last,
you know, who's going to use it?
Exactly. The last thing I want to say about it is, how many people's pockets got lined along the way? And that is the big question.
It is.
With that... I'm going to bed.
Me too.